Hello, this is Denise Yon, and welcome to the Brand is Business Bites podcast. The Brand is Business Bites podcast gives you a taste of insights and information about brands, businesses, and the people who work on them. It's available on iTunes. For more stuff for your brain to chew on, please visit my website at deniseleeyon.com. Hello, if you are into brands or branding at all, you have probably heard of my guest today, Martin Lindstrom. He is a world-renowned advisor, speaker, and author, and two of his books, at least, have influenced the thinking of many brand builders, including myself, those being Brand Sense, Build Powerful Brands Through Touch, Taste, Smell, Sight, and Sound, and more recently, Biology, The Truth and Lies About Why We Buy. Today, he is joining me to talk about his latest book, Brandwashed, Tricks Companies Use to Manipulate Our Minds and Persuade Us to Buy. And from that title alone, you can probably get a sense of how provocative the book is. Martin reveals the secrets like how marketers target babies before they're born and how cosmetic products use addictive ingredients to hook consumers, and how strongly people are influenced by their peers. And that last point was actually the subject of a three-month-long social experiment in which Martin hired actors to pose as a family and peddle products and brands to their unsuspecting neighbors in suburban Laguna Beach. So it's all very fascinating, and the book has raised so many questions for me. So I'm glad to have the opportunity to speak with Martin today. So welcome, Martin.
Thank you so much for having me on your show.
You're welcome. Your book, as I said, includes many controversial findings. I can't even begin to list them. So I'm hoping you might give me and my listeners just some highlights, maybe by talking about what are some of the most surprising things you found in your research.
I think for me, the three most surprising dimensions we identified in the book as part of my research. Well, first of all, how some companies are using addictive chemicals in the product manufacturing processes in order to make us become addicted to the product. And one example I'm pointing out in the book is how a lip balm brand called Carmex, which some of you may be familiar with, indeed is not just good to use, but we actually do become addicted to it. The reason why is because they actually add a chemical to the formula, which actually eats up dead tissue and living tissue on your lips, which is the reason why I think most of us have sort of been struggling stopping or quitting that lip balm mania we all have. And what's surprising in the book is, of course, that the company which is producing this even admits that they are doing it. So for me, that was a shocking revelation because it shows how desperate some companies are in order to secure an audience and sell to them. Another aspect in the book which I found fascinating but also scary is the whole privacy issue. And certainly as I was doing the research, realized how concepts like super cookies now have become a reality. Basically, a piece of software which is placed on your computer which are overriding previous instructions you're given to, for example, delete cookies. Cookies, remember where you were in the past and what websites you're looking at and stuff like that. Now, these super cookies actually override that information, recovers all your historic surfer activities, and can now recover that and send it back to advertisers in order to I guess, target you and I more. And one of the other things I was fascinated by was, as you were pointing out just a couple of minutes ago, how we now have evidence that some marketeers indeed are targeting pregnant women in order to make them prime their babies, unborn babies, to have a brand preference even before they're born. Sounds like a scientific movie, a scary movie from the future. But I also have to admit, having done a lot of research on this topic, and we interviewed more than 50 different independent psychologists, scientists, and pediatricians, we have learned that this probably is very much the truth.
Well, it is scary, but I guess it is the reality, right?
It is very much the reality, and what we have learned for the last topic is actually that indeed, while we still are in the wound of our mother, we are today affected by the sense of taste and the sense of sound. Several papers have been published on that topic and peer-reviewed. We also do know from other studies, for example, a British study conducted recently, that if you are watching a certain TV series which have a very strong signature tune associated with it, and if you do that during pregnancy, in fact, the newborn babies later on will have a preference when watching this show. They'll not only be calmer, they'll also be more attention-seeking and stuff like that compared to control groups. And indeed, in the book, I'm pointing out companies like a coffee company in Asia, which is called CoffeeCo, which is both producing coffee and candy, and which is infusing a branded sound and smell of candy into mothers' behavior. So they're actually eating this candy while pregnant and actually generate a non-conscious preference for this candy and later on for this coffee brand as these babies are born. So it's very scary stuff we're talking about. And of course, that's the reason why I'm writing it about it in this book, because I think everyone, including marketeers, to be aware that sometimes things are going out of hand and it's going too far in desperation for us to sell products.
Well, so that does speak to the questions that I had for you about, I'm curious as to, first, what is the appropriate, consumer response to your findings? What do we do now that we know this? And then the flip side, what is the appropriate marketer's response?
I think the appropriate consumer response is that consumers should be aware of that they are not immune. I think a lot of consumers believe because they've been shopping for so long time, they've been exposed for so much advertising, they believe they are perfectly able to avoid all the tricks and traps set up by the industry. But guess what? It is when you reach that stage in your life, you actually are most affected by the commercial messages. And I think the book will create a wake-up call for you as you read it, because you will realize, gee, I'm actually affected by that and that and that, and I didn't know this trick was played on me. So really, you will realize, hopefully, that a lot of stuff is going on without your awareness. So number one, don't be fooled. Don't think that you're immune to things. I think from the marketeer's point of view, I have issued a set of new ethical guidelines, which I'm actually using to educate my clients with right now. You see, I'm one of the evil guys. I'm a marketing guy.
Right.
I'm a branding guy, And I'm not doing this to sell books necessarily. I'm doing this because I do believe we've gone too far right now, and someone needs to put a line in the sand. Now, there's two different ways you can put a line in the sand. You can scream and shout, or you can work with the industry. And I'm actually trying to do both. I'm trying to educate the industry, i.e. my clients across the world, about how far should they go and how far should they not go. So by introducing a range of new ethical guidelines, which actually have been developed by 2,000 individual consumers across the world, I do hope that we'll see a whole new standard being adapted by companies across the world. And just to give you sort of an insight here, I talked to one of the largest companies in the world a couple of weeks ago introducing those ethical guidelines, and immediately they decided to adapt all 10 of those guidelines as a standard approach worldwide. So that actually made me proud, because already now I can see a change. But I think also for consumers, the most important thing to be aware of here, that they should keep an eye on those companies which are doing the good stuff and support that more, because there's so much competition out there, and I don't think those companies which are staying within the ethical guidelines are getting enough credit for it, simply because the noise is so big, so we don't know who it is.
So they can actually, consumers can actually become advocates and promoters for those companies that are trying to be more conscientious about what they're doing.
Absolutely, and I think it's rare it's happening. I think there's a tendency either to that we have given up as consumers and just don't care anymore, or alternatively we're screaming and shouting about all the bad stuff. But it's very rare you see consumers raising their hand and saying, we love that company and we love the ethical standard and I wish the rest of the world would listen to them. And that's also what I'm encouraging here.
Right, right. Okay, well, now, how do you, I think that in your book it comes across quite clearly that many of the tactics that marketers are using are manipulative. And I think I'm curious to know, how do you respond to those who say that they're manipulative, but they're actually very helpful? Since, for example, if you highlight a friend's purchases, you're actually helping someone navigate the multitude of choices before them and giving them information that actually helps them make a better decision. So what is your response to people who kind of push back and say, hey, it may be manipulative, but it's actually good?
Well, I have to admit that I haven't come across one single person saying that. And I feel
really?
I've been interviewed by a lot. Yeah, so I haven't really felt that. The only thing I've seen happening now and then is that some people are saying, wow, is that it? Are we not manipulated with more? But that's about 1 out of 100 reviews saying that. And then the 99% of the people are saying, I'm shocked. I would say that if that comment were to come across me, and if I take your example on board in terms of you being navigated by other people, I would have to disagree with that. And the reason why is this. Let's take a scenario like Google Gmail. If you, for example, write an email, let's say you write an email and using the word nice quite a lot in that email, and you talk about travel and trips, then suddenly Google, as you know today, is that able and they're allowed to monitor your entire email and to capture those keywords and use them for advertising purposes. They will know now in that context that it's not nice you're writing about. You're writing about a city called Nice, spelled the same way, but in France. And it will know that because you talk about travel as well, and that's the reason why they would put up an ad talking about free trips or cheap trips to Nice. Now, let's say you buy that, and let's say that they're now monitoring how your friends are talking about Nice as well because of you. And in fact, they're starting to buy trips as well. Then they're able to figure out that you are a person who have a stronger influence with your friends and, in fact, categorize you based on your influence. If you take a look at what's happening now is that a concept like Facebook is now going to develop a new application which allows you to see what your friend is watching right now or allow you to look into the music which your friend is listening to right now. That means that basically all of us will keep an eye on what all of us are doing all the time. And that's I'm sure some people will find that positive, but what's sneaky about this is, of course, that if I'm releasing a new movie and I'm starting with 600 people on Facebook and I can see that 423 of those, in fact, had a huge influence on people around them. And that was the reason why that movie spread to another 2,000, another 10,000, another 500,000 people. Well, then they know which people have the strongest influence in our community and which one has a less influence on our community. And combining all those data from Gmail and Facebook and stuff like that, we suddenly know who's A people and who's B people, who have the more influence than others. So next time I'm releasing a product, I'll only talk to those 650 people because they will control the entire word of mouth online. Now, then it leads me back to my question to you. If you happen to be influenced by your friend, which, by the way, is influenced by two other people, which is seeded or primed into the community, so in fact they're really opinion is not really the opinion they have. It's something they've been influenced by other people. And just to put that into perspective, as you probably remember in the book, I'm talking about how 200 people were put into a room, asked to walk around random, and 5 people were then instructed to walk around in the room clockwise without saying it to anyone. And within 7 minutes, the entire room was walking around clockwise, and no one had an idea about why they were doing it. Well, then it gives you an indication of that, yes, it may be that you can choose a product based on what your friend thinks is great. But then my question is, is that really the full truth?
Right. Is that really choice, or is it
manipulation?
Yes, manipulation and conformity, unbeknownst to the person, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Well, let me actually ask you the last question. I wanted to. The foreword of your book is written by Morgan Spurlock. And I found that just fascinating that you would have him write your foreword. And I'm just curious to hear, like, what you think of his movie, The Palm Wonderful Presents, the greatest movie ever sold, and what he's trying to do and how that may differ or coincide with what you're trying to do.
Well, Morgan contacted me a couple of years ago because he wanted me to be in that movie, so I'm featured in his movie.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I love this concept because it actually is looking at the industry in a very different light, using his signature humor and his very simple language. Unfortunately, the movie hasn't sold as well as I think everyone was hoping, but certainly it gives you an interesting insight to the concept of product placement. Now, I feel that Morgan Spurlock more and more is trying to give a pretty objective view about the life of a consumer affected by messages, and for good and for worse. And I felt that he was an appropriate person to put on my book as a foreword, because he is adding a view to the commercial world, which is probably just as much the truth as the view with marketing people is adding to their part of this world. Meaning that, yes, not every brand is healthy. Not every product is healthy. And yes, there is some rotten eggs in the basket of marketeers and brands which are going too far. And I think he has the ears among this audience which are willing to listen to what he's saying. And I felt, because my book is in many ways critical at the same time as hopefully constructive, I felt that it was appropriate to involve him. Now, in the end of the day, I've realized one thing. If I want to introduce the concept of ethics into the world, the worst thing I could do, or the last thing I should do, was to write a book about ethics. That's the reason why instead I've written a fun book, an interesting book, hopefully, and hopefully you feel the same, which is incredibly informative, but also gives you a lot of aha moments. And I feel that Morgan Spurlock is setting the right tone of voice, because that's really his tone of voice as well. So yes, we are a very odd couple coming from two different worlds, but hopefully by combining us, people will see both sides of the world rather than just one side.
Great. That makes a lot of sense. Well, for my listeners, I want to encourage you to look up Martin at his website, martinlindstrom.com. And also, I encourage you to get a copy of his book and let me know what you think about it. And actually, to that end, I actually have an extra copy of Brand Wash that I'd like to share with one of my listeners. So whoever is the first person to post a comment on my blog or send me an email about this interview, I will send you the copy. Martin, thank you so much for being here today, for sharing your provocative perspectives, and I am just thrilled to kind of hear the backstory behind your writing, and I wish you the best with your book and the many works for you to come.
And thank you so much for listening in and for some really good questions. Good luck with the show.
That's it for today. Thanks for listening to the Brand as Business Bites podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes so your brain will always be filled with good stuff to chew on. For more information or to contact me directly, please visit my website at deniseleeyan.com. Take care, and thanks again.